This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, we're speaking with Ashley Davis Bush, who has been a psychotherapist for over 30 years. She's the author of 10 self-help books, including her latest book, Light After Loss, A Spiritual Guide for Comfort, Hope, and Healing. And Ashley, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here with you today.
And our pleasure as well. And thanks so much for your time and for joining us. So tell us, for starters, how is Light After Loss different from other grief books? Certainly look forward to hearing all about this book as we get underway here today.
Well, you know, there are a lot of wonderful grief books out there. And in fact, this is my third grief book that I've written. So I like to think that even some of my previous grief books are good ones out there. But Light After Loss is specifically looking at grief through a spiritual lens. And that doesn't necessarily mean a religious lens. It's looking at a spiritual lens. And I'm really defining spirituality as a something more, something bigger than what we can see. So that could be nature, for example. A lot of people enter a spiritual experience through their contact with nature. The reason I wanted to look at this lens is that over 30 plus years where I've been working with grievers, I noticed that those who had some kind of spiritual anchor, some kind of depth to their framework of life and death, they did better with their grief. And people who didn't have that seemed to flounder more, seemed to get stuck in complicated grief or a kind of chronic pain. And so I wanted to write a book to help people who didn't naturally land in a religious or spiritual way to find a way to harness the benefits of spirituality to make their grief journey easier.
Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it does seem that we don't take enough time to grieve, but loss is everywhere. Why is the grieving process important? Get into some of those important details there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so interesting because grief is, I would say, the most universal experience. Maybe besides death of ourselves, grieving the death of loved ones, it's universal. It's been around forever through all of human history, through all of time. And it's so universal, and yet we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about it. We want to sort of sweep it under the rug. So it's one of these classic conundrums in life that everyone's experiencing it, but we don't like to talk about it. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons is that we don't like pain. And the bottom line is that losing someone you love is painful. And even with a spiritual lens, there's no avoiding the fact that it's painful. So there is no spiritual bypass. We don't just leapfrog over the pain. The pain is important. And we live in a society that doesn't like pain. Just that's basically the bottom line. We don't like pain. We want to avoid pain. If we feel pain in our body, for example, we want to go fix it. We see a doctor. Well, emotional pain is different. It can't be fixed so easily. The way to get through it is to feel it, is to honor it, is to sit in it, is to appreciate it even, is to allow it, if you will. And what happens is that that pain has a purpose, and the purpose is to heal and get to a different place with it, to have a shift. And a lot of times people feel that, well, if I allow myself to feel the pain, it's just going to hurt like heck, I won't know how to deal with it, and it's going to last forever. Well, acute pain does not last forever. Some of grief does. There's an ongoing process. I like to tell people that it's a lifelong journey of living with loss and life and love. And ultimately, the love becomes stronger than the pain. But if you don't honor the pain and if you just sort of deny it, it gets buried in your psyche. And often what happens is that people get physically ill, mentally ill. It comes out in unpleasant ways. So I think the message I want to help people understand is that it's important to honor and experience the grief, the pain, the sorrow, the anger, the regret, all of that. And it's going to take you to a different place. It's going to allow you to move into a place where you're changed by the grief in a positive way.
Certainly do appreciate your input there, and that is much appreciated and helpful. Now, I'd like to slide this in. I know we're more gearing this conversation toward human death, but if you see on Facebook, for instance, or on Instagram, people are mentioning that they've lost their dear pets, which really are like family members, or I consider mine as family members. How do you grieve over a pet? I would think it would be the same form and fashion.
Oh, absolutely. And especially with our pets, you know, they are our fur family members. And sometimes the relationships we have with our pets are more pure, more simple than human relationships. They're a lot less complicated. Usually our dogs and cats and lizards or whoever you love, they are so easy with you. They don't challenge you. They don't fight with you. They don't argue with you. They just love you. They are the essence of unconditional love. So yes, I'm a big believer that when you lose a pet, it is the same grieving process where you're going to have to feel it, allow yourself to be in pain, move through the pain, have a lot of self-compassion, and get to a different place where you shift and the love becomes deeper and stronger than the pain.
Certainly appreciate your thoughts in those regards. I'm sure listeners that have gone through that appreciate it as well. Now, I understand you've worked with grievers for over 30 years. How has that impacted your understanding of the grieving process?
Well, you know, it is kind of astonishing to me still that I have worked with grievers for, you know, my entire adult career. And it's been an honor and it's been a privilege. And what I could say is that the bottom line of the process has not changed that much, but there is a manifestation that has changed, and that's the internet and social media. Because when I started in this field, that didn't exist. So people were pretty isolated in their grief. But now, because of different chat rooms and groups on Facebook and online presences, especially post-pandemic, you can connect with other grievers online. That has done an amazing job of helping grievers feel less alone for those who choose to connect with those resources. But the bottom line is still the same. You just have to let yourself feel it. You have to let yourself acknowledge it in your body. And then you have to honor the relationship and start to shift, make what I call light shifts, really practices and a sort of mind shift where you start again and again noticing the good, the connection, the compassion, the love, and the faith that is starting to evolve in your process. So I guess the short answer is that in some ways it hasn't changed much over 30 years, the process itself, because humans are still humans, but the technology piece has allowed people to connect in ways that didn't exist before. And that's a big positive.
Yeah, that certainly is an important factor. And that certainly is a big helper as well with today's technology. That certainly helps in those regards. Really do appreciate your visit with us here today and the information shared so far today. We're speaking with Ashley Davis Bush, who has been a psychotherapist for over 30 years. She's the author of 10 self-help books, including her latest book, Light After Loss, A Spiritual Guide for Comfort, Hope, and Healing, here on eHealth Radio's Emotional Health Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Ashley, you describe light shift practices in the book. Can you tell us about light shifts?
Yes. Well, so light shifts are practices that I have woven through the book. And they're basically a sampling of shifting your attention to what is good, what is loving, what is pure, so that you're not always immersed in the pain, the anger, the sorrow, the grief. So this might be looking at a photograph, and that is actually somewhat loaded, because initially looking at photographs might bring some pain, might feel like almost a knife in your heart. But over time, when you start to make these light shifts, you look at photographs and you let the imprint of that experience resonate in your heart. You remember, yes, I had this amazing relationship. I had this experience of love. Even if it was complicated, because of course human relationships are complicated and there's good and bad, but you want to land on the good. So light shifts are using and harnessing the power of neuroplasticity. And that is basically the idea that when we shift our attention again and again, we create new pathways in our brain. That's the good news. So in psychology, we know that that means when you look towards gratitude, that's going to help create a neural pathway of gratitude in your brain over resentment, for example. And this is using the same kind of idea that again and again, you want to shift your attention to the love, to your faith, to your compassion for yourself and for other grievers. And that by doing that day after day, the framework of how you're holding the grief changes. Because again, we know that what you pay attention to grows. What you pay attention to defines your mood. What you pay attention to starts to create the basically how you interface with life. And so being able to apply that to your grief through light shift practices makes your journey easier.
Also, Ashley, how do people make meaning out of loss? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's one of the perennial questions, right? Because people want to know, well, what do I do with this? And I think making meaning out of loss, while it's very individual, it has to do with the intention to say, my loved one died and I want to make that matter. I want to take it and do something with it. So for some people, it's making donations in their loved one's honor. It's starting or participating in organizations that might be connected to their loved one's death. For example, people who have a child die of cancer, they might start becoming volunteers in a cancer ward, or someone who died through hospice, they might start becoming hospice volunteers. I've seen people do random acts of kindness in honor of their loved one. So it has to do with taking the relationship you had, holding on to it, and then using it to propel you to make a difference in this world in their honor. So there's a change that occurs that it didn't exist before the loss, but whatever this thing is that you're doing exists after the loss. It's basically acknowledging that the relationship continues. And that's one of the messages I like to share with grievers, is that just because that person you loved or animal you loved has died does not mean that the relationship is over. In fact, the relationship is still ongoing. So making meaning is honoring that and using that in a way to make this world a better place.
Well, Ashley, we want to thank you for what you've been doing now for 30 years, not only through your services, but through your books as well, and for joining us here today. We're much appreciated. Before you go, in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to mention?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's such an honor to work with grievers, and it really helps me appreciate life, the fragility of life, and the strength of love. So I guess my parting message is just that love is stronger than death. Love transcends death. Love is what you want to hold in your heart and take to the other side, because it is rich and beautiful, and even grief cannot take that away.
The perfect place to conclude, and really do appreciate that and those final concluding remarks. Ashley, if listeners wanted to get more information on you or your books or services, where's the best place to connect and get the details?
That would be my website, which is www.ashleydavisbush.com. Davis Bush, ashleydavisbush.com. Thank you, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome, and we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast. As always, Ashley, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you, Eric.
Again, we've been speaking with Ashley Davis Bush, who has been a psychotherapist for over 30 years. She's the author of 10 self-help books, including her latest book, Light After Loss, A Spiritual Guide for Comfort, Hope, and Healing. And for all the details, visit ashleydavisbush.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.